We are on. We have called the meeting to order, and I just announced that House members will have to leave to vote for the tax bill. That should not take but a moment, because I think we've all made up our minds about what we're going to do. It's gorgeous out, and it's Friday afternoon. Let's go as fast as we can. I think that would be agreeable for everybody, but we do need to get going. But before we do that, I do want to thank staff so much for pulling this side by side together. This has been a particularly difficult one, and good for you for working so hard to pull it together, Xerox it multiple times, and we do appreciate it. So with that, I think we're going, yes.
Can you tell us what the goals are today that we are just going to go through side by side? Are we going to accept similar language or anything? Just go through it.
We are just going to be going through it. Hopefully, now that the side by side is ready, we will get something specifically with similar language, but we're not there yet.
Okay.
So we're just going to go through it and make sure that members now understand the different positions of each house. And with that, I think we're going to ask Mr. Helen to start this off. Is that the way we're going to do it? And how do you do it?
Well, I'm just wondering where my staff, committee staff, are. Anybody know? Do they know we're meeting?
Just up there, yeah.
I think they know we're meeting.
They were here.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I haven't talked with them.
They were here.
Here he comes. Here comes Greg.
Yeah, he's here.
Super. Then we.
Okay. What, Don?
And we were just thinking about just like one other set of the tapes.
What about Dan and Carol? Okay. Okay. They're on their way. Are Dan and Carol nearby?
Yes. They're on their way.
Okay, we're starting. We're on the table. Okay.
We are going to start now, and if Mr. Helen would get us started, and if folks down at the other end of the table could be very quiet. It's hard to hear in this room. Mr. Helen.
Madam Chair and members, I'll start on page R4 with the rider language. And Mr. Reinholz and Mr. Mueller went through the numbers the last time we met. So the first change, and Mr. Knopf may want to talk about this, is just on Senate 4.7, reference to distribution of funds that are provided in the 2005 law, that it's not in the House version. There's also a stylistic change on 418 that we say any unexpended balance in the first year is not canceled but is available in the second year, and the Senate says any money remaining after the first year is available for the second year, so it's not a big deal, obviously. Going on down to page.
Excuse me, you can't hear.
Representative Dill.
It's just not loud enough.
Okay.
Or not too loud or not loud enough. One of the two.
Okay. If we could have deathly silence in the room. We're going to have Mr. Helen start again.
Well, you didn't miss much, Representative Dill. So nothing big has come up. On R5, 5.25.
Madam Chair, did you want me to talk about the Senate provisions as we're going through them or to come back?
I think it would make more sense to go through them as we.
Because I should probably explain on page R4 the differences.
That would be good.
Well, at least Mr. Helen talked about one difference, but the distribution of funds, if you look on 4.7 on the Senate side, the reason for that is there's an extensive rider that's been carried for a number of years in this area for the feedlot grants. This ties in the distribution, so somebody who wants to know how the grants are going to be distributed can look back to the laws from 2005 and find out how they're going to be allocated. So it basically ties it into that allocation process. I'm assuming the agency would use that process, but this provides somebody with a reference to that. And Madam Chair, Mr. Helen, also on 4.26, there's a such there. I don't know if Senator Fredrickson's probably aware of that. So on the House side.
And where is, would you give that again?
It's 4.26 on the House side. We have a such.
Such and put in the top.
So on page R5, the House on 5.23 has a phrase and to complete the requirements of a 2003 law. And I don't have, I did not write down what that is, so I'll have to look that up later unless Mr. Knopf knows what that is.
Madam Chairman, that's the ISTS pilot program that was enacted
right.
in 2003.
Right. And then going on further, 529 to 533, the House has $375,000 each year for monitoring and analyzing endocrine disruptors in at least 20 additional sites in surface water throughout the state.
Madam Chair, could I just interject? We do have some language on our Clean Water Legacy Appropriation that includes monitoring for endocrine disruptors. So there is some language, but it's in a different place than it was. We weren't able to bring it in to line it up.
On the House side, on 6.2, we say that of the amount under Clean Water Legacy for the PCA, that $6,317,000 is for completion of 10% of the needed statewide assessments of surface water quality and trends. And then further down, 6.10, we've got that they complete an average of 10% the agency of the TMDLs each year, and that was talked about previously when we met. And then, if the Senate wants to talk about the line in 4.24, the sentence, the priority for permitting bioenergy crop utilization.
Madam Chair and members, as far as the permitting, both sides do appropriate money from the Environmental Fund for permitting for ethanol mining and other developing economic sectors. In each place, the Senate put a priority in each place within each funding area or each program area. The Senate has language that says priority shall be for permitting new and emerging bioenergy crop utilization technologies. That's to make sure that that's going to be a priority for the agency in going through the permitting process.
Madam Chair, I can't find the lines. Okay, that's on the next. 4.20.
Yeah,
4.24. Thank you.
Page R6, the 6.18, it's $88,000. The first year is for an endocrine disruptor report, which is in Article 2. And then on 6.28, the House also is going to be evaluating these point-of-use water treatment units for PFBs as well as the other two chemicals, and the Senate is only going to do the two chemicals that I think are deemed now hazardous waste. The Senate has a reference on 7.7, that their evaluation is under the statute purpose 115B17. On 6.33, the House is amending agency rules, and where legislative action is necessary, the Senate doesn't have that in their paragraph on that purpose. On 7.14 in the House, we mentioned stormwater contracts or grants for the Clean Water Partnership, and the Senate doesn't mention that. And then there's sort of a stylistic difference for the Senate. They say on 5.11, this appropriation is from the Environmental Fund, and we put that in each of our paragraphs on the House side for those particular appropriations. And in the Senate, again, they've got on 5.31 on the next page, the priority for bioenergy crop utilization and the amount of money for gasification facilities.
And Madam Chair, that's on 5.33, of this amount, $300,000 is to fully characterize emissions. The House does have money for this. It's on it's in the energy section, I think, on House, excuse me, it's on R-143. Lines 112.12 to 112.17. So there is language in the House side for that. It's also $300,000 for the emissions characterization.
Okay.
I think it's from the general fund, if I remember right, in the House side.
And on the House side, on 8.20, we also have the annual spending plan from the Environmental Response and Compensation Remediation Fund sent to the House and Senate Chairs of Environment, Natural Resources, Finance. On 8.30, we've got for appropriation to the commissioner, which is not in the Senate language. And on 9.2, the remediation fund transfer to the Department of Health for the health assessments. We've got in public information activities for areas contaminated by hazardous releases. And the Senate's got in areas contaminated by unpermitted mixed municipal solid waste disposal facilities.
And Madam Chair, I think the way the Senate has this is the way the base, the way the rider has worked in the past, and the House has a new language in the rider, and I'm not sure where that came from or why.
And the next changes in the House on 8.35. The base for the environmental fund is zero in fiscal year 2010 and after. The Senate doesn't mention the base. The Senate does have more money for that purpose, though, $200,000 more a year. Down in 9.13 in the House, we've got a notwithstanding the Minnesota statutes 16A28, the appropriations encumbered on or before June 30th, 2009 for TMDLs are available till 2011. And the Senate's got another sentence in there in 7.24 for the priority for permitting new and emerging bioenergy crop utilization technologies again. And the Senate also goes back to the environmental fund in 7.29, just mentioning it at the top so it doesn't have to be mentioned always in each paragraph. Down on the House side in 10.5, we've got language on retrofitting school buses statewide, including buses for preschool children and for loans to small trucking firms to install equipment to reduce fuel consumption, a one-time appropriation. And the Senate language is just about converting grants to convert diesel emission systems in school buses. The next is R13. On 11.30 on the House side, we've got money in the second year from the minerals management account. This was talked about at previous meetings that the House is keeping the minerals management account and the Senate is not. So they have an appropriation for the first year, but not the second year. And their appropriation is a little less in that regard. On 12.5 on the House side, we've got language about also identifying and evaluating and leasing construction aggregate located in school trust lands, and which the Senate doesn't have, but they've got some different language on 10.9. I don't know if, Greg, you want to mention that or not.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Helen, that's I remember right, I think it might be comparable to language from 2 years ago, that it basically ties this provision in to meeting the provisions of 92.121, which basically is kind of the taking care of the fiduciary responsibility for the trust lands and making sure that they're exchanged and that for lands that garner revenue.
On the House side, 12.14, that paragraph is the $15,000 for proposed minimum legal and conservation standards for conservation easements for the DNR. And the Senate has an appropriation for land asset management on 10.28 and 29 that the House does not have. On the House side, in 13.14, we have a little more money the first year, $75,000 for the ring dikes. And we have a sentence on 13.18, any encumbered balance does not cancel, and at the end of the first year is available for the second year. The Senate has a different way of stating that.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think they both do the same thing. It's just the sentence a little more succinct.
On 13.28, we just say that it's the plans for impaired waters is required by the Federal Clean Water Act, and we have a one-time appropriation. And the Senate just says that's waters listed on the EPA-approved impaired waters list.
Madam Chair, I just need to make one comment about some of these provisions. You will notice that especially in the Senate side, there are a number of bills that have been brought in to compare. This was part of our one-time bill. There were a number of provisions for clean water legacy within that. I'm not sure that all of them are in here and all of them are necessarily lined up exactly where they should be. They are on the spreadsheet. The money's all being tracked. It's just that the way the riders, and also you'll notice that we don't say this is a one-time appropriation because it was in a one-time bill. So there was a language early in the bill that said that everything's one time. So we didn't need to say it for every single provision. So even though it doesn't show up as this is a one-time appropriation, it is on the Senate side. Even though you won't see the language because it wasn't in the bill that way. I just wanted to clarify that because you're going to see a number of those provisions. Every time you see, on this point you see in the bottom of page R15 where you see S2190-1, that's the one-time bill, so they're bringing in a provision from the one-time bill. And so it's done a little differently in there. And like I said, the money's all part of it, and we'll get the right riders to make everything work when they finish it based on the decisions over the money. So.
And at page R17, just another stylistic change. The House says on 1423 that the reimbursement of firefighting expenditures shall be deposited into the general fund, and the Senate on 1216 says must be credited to the general fund. Then the Senate has language starting in 12.24 on money on the forest management investment account purposes that the House does not have down to 13.
Madam Chair, did you talk about the reporting requirements are a little bit different from the two sides too on the bottom of page R16? I don't know. It's not a big deal, but the Senate has reports also going to Ways and Means and Finance, and I think the House just says Senate committees and divisions with jurisdiction over Environment, Natural Resources, Finance, and they're spelled out on the Senate side. So it's a fairly technical difference, but we may need some direction over how people want those reports to flow.
On page R18, for the Forest Timber Management Information System, we also mentioned other information systems, and the Senate doesn't have that phrase. On 12.9 in the Senate bill, they have $110,000 in fiscal year 2008. We separate that. $55,000 each year for the statewide information and education campaign on non-approved firewood on state lands. The Senate has more money in 12.32, $25,000 more for grants to all local units of government and park districts and so forth for removal of dead and dying shade trees, loss to forest pests. And we've got the $75,000 for a task force as well, with language in Article 2 on that task force, and the Senate doesn't have that appropriation. On page R19, the Senate has $1.5 million each year for cost share assistance to non-industrial private forest landowners that the House doesn't have. Also has $500 million each year for addressing escalating land asset management demands, land acquisition of forest lands that the House doesn't have. On 14.8, the Senate's got $150,000 each year for additional interpretive services for parks and recreation management. The House does not have that.
You know, Madam Chair, Mr. Helen, I think the House may have funding for that, but they don't have carry. We have a number of riders for the when the department was kind of refinancing and restructuring some of their finances. This was actually listed in their program, and this will all be based on the spreadsheet how this turns out. But you may actually have money in for it, but not a rider. So just make sure.
And then on R20, the House has got the $5,000 each year for the Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area Citizens Advisory Council that's being placed in statutes. And the appropriation from the water recreation account this is the appropriation for the proposed whitewater park in Minneapolis on the Mississippi River. It's being extended so it can be available till June 30th, 2009. On the Senate side, 1418, they've got $500,000 first year, $750,000 the second year for increased park maintenance work, and that's also another thing that's we don't have a rider on. And then the House side, we've got $500,000 more each year from the snowmobile trails and enforcement account for grant and aid trails. And on 15-6 on the Senate side, they've got $1,075,000 each year from the all-terrain vehicle account, and we've got it split we don't have that much. We have $575,000 each year from the all-terrain vehicle account. So they have more money there. Down on 17.29 in the House side, we say the money may be used for trail maintenance, signage, mapping, and so forth for maintenance of non-motorized forest trails for state trail operations. And on the Senate side, 15-23, they've got $655,000 from the Natural Resources Fund for trail grants to local units of government.
And, Madam Chair, that's a base rider for the money from the lottery in lieu, the money that goes for grant and aid trails.
On the House side, on R22, on 18.5, we've got a phrase in there from that is from the Game and Fish Fund, the appropriation, and is added to the base for expenditures on water access sites. And then we've got a paragraph 18.9 that money appropriated under the 2005 law for the Paul Bunyan Trail is available till 2008. The Senate side's got some new language on 16.4 through 16.16, other rider language.
And Madam Chair, and the first two riders, I think, are the they're kind of restructuring that the DNR was doing. You may have the money in, but just not necessarily a rider for it. But on 16.9 to 16.16, you'll see later on that there are a couple of new canoe routes that were bills of Senator Dill and Senator Fredrickson. And each one of those, the fiscal note came back to put the signage up as $60,000 for each one. So the $120,000 pays for the two additional rivers for the it's one-time money out of the water recreation account to pay for the signage on those rivers.
And then on the next page, there's another rider. The Senate has 16.28, but the House doesn't have for wildlife acquisition surcharge account.
Yep, Madam Chair, you'll see several riders for the stamp and surcharge accounts. The Senate's carrying the riders, as we've done in the past, and the House decided they didn't need to have the riders. That's just part of the game and the overall Game and Fish Fund appropriations. These were put in place in the mid-90s after there were some concerns with the way the DNR was spending some of the surcharge, stamp and surcharge money, to better tie them into the expenditures for the specific purposes that the money was is for.
On 18.31 in the House side, we've got $1,175,000 each year for preserving, restoring, and enhancing grassland wetland complexes on public lands. And on the Senate side, 17.7, they have $150,000 each year for expanding hunter and angler recruitment and retention, public land user facilities.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we have had a rider that allowed that money to be used. I don't know if we had a dollar amount in the past, but because it doesn't necessarily fit in with the uses for the lottery and lieu money in the heritage account, but the department has requested this in the past to use this money for expanding their hunter and angler recruitment and retention, and then the public land user facilities.
And then 18.8 on the Senate side, they have a lot more money from the wild turkey management account.
Well, Madam Chair, you have the money. It's just not in rider form. The money's within the overall number to this area.
And page R24 on 19.21 on the House side, $50,000 is for fencing cattle feeding areas and bovine tuberculosis control zones. I think there's some money in the Senate bill.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator, Mr. Helland, if you look on 12.15 on the Senate side, you see that was in our one-time bill. The $54,000, it's parallel with that, with the part 1215 to 1219 on page R24 on the Senate side, from
right.
Senate file
right.
2190.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then you've got some additional language in 18.25 and 28, accelerating programs and efforts, and 28 and private lands. We talk about grassland-wetland complexes on public lands only.
And Madam Chair, because on the Senate side, on 18.28, it says and private land. So that is a difference where the House only allows the money to be used on public lands and the Senate's on public and private lands. And the Senate also is a one-time appropriation. And it's all, the other thing here is the Senate money is from the Game and Fish Fund for this. And you see that since there's no fund specified on the House side, that would mean it's general fund. But these are money issues for the spreadsheet.
And the Senate has more money from the Heritage Enhancement Account and the Game and Fish Fund for Let's Go Fishing Minnesota, which we talked about a little bit before, too. And the Senate on R25, 17.17 to 1914, that's all riders the House does not have.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, the through 18.7, those are the base riders for the stamps and surcharge accounts. In 1912 through 1914, that was again part of the recommendation. I think it was kind of lumped in with a bunch of other things, but there was money recommended by the administration for that person to work with the Budget Oversight Committee.
And then also on the next page, Senate's got riders down to 20.4 that the House does not have.
Madam Chair, this is a provision that Senator Chaudhry was working on. It has to do with the way the Game and Fish Fund, the imbalance between the revenues that have been coming in for fisheries and expended on fisheries, and then the revenue for wildlife and expended on wildlife programs. There's been a number of concerns raised over that. And so Senator Chaudhry had worked on this provision to get a report back to kind of explain the situation and then also to offer some advice about ways to correct it in the short term and long term, because there are apparently some significant imbalances that fisheries been spending quite a bit more than comes in from fishing licenses, and the wildlife side has been spending quite a bit less than what's coming in from hunting licenses. And there are some of the groups are concerned about that, so that's why this is in here. I'll explain that.
And on page R27 on the House side, 2112, we have a sentence, priorities shall be given to preventing the spread of aquatic invertebrates. And then of the amount of that appropriation on the invasive species account, $250,000 for each year for a zebra mussel pilot program, one-time appropriation, and that a applicant for a grant has to have a workable plan for improving water quality and so forth. Grants may not be made for chemicals that are likely endocrine disruptors. And we also ask for a plan to prevent the introduction of Asian carp into Minnesota waters.
And Madam Chair, I just wanted to just back up a little bit. On 20.34, the House has only on public lands again, and the Senate says basically for activities that it doesn't specify whether it's public or private land, so it's any of those activities that fit within the lottery and lieu money. This is lottery and lieu dollars going to ecological services, and so it's more limited on the House side with the only on public lands.
On this last provision, I see on page 28 there's a requirement that report be made by November 1st of this year. Are they able to do that? Their work in process that would allow that quick report?
I actually think there is. We can check with the agency, but this does not seem to be that constraining. But if it is, we can change it.
Madam Chair, can you, and Senator Frederickson, where, can you tell us what line you're on?
It's on R28, 21.25.
Thank you.
And I think it's a good, Madam Chair. I think it's a good thing to do. I just raised a question in my mind. We're sitting here in almost May, and they'll have what could be a complex report by November.
If I could respond to that, I think the much work has been done on this issue, and people are really concerned about it, and we need to engage the public with how we're going to resolve this Asian carp issue, because it just keeps moving up the Mississippi River. And I know there's work that's being done with the federal government, and hopefully this just spurs some actual action. I think that's why the date it's not starting from scratch, if you would.
On page R28 on the House side, we have $125,000 in the first year for a technical advisory committee to manage grasslands, to develop plans for optimization of native prairie seed harvest and replanting on state-owned lands. And then we've got all kinds of language about that, ensuring the survival of the native prairie remaining in Minnesota. And the Department of Natural Resources would have this task force in cooperation with Bowser and the Department of Agriculture. They would establish the advisory committee, and then we've got a number of things that would be developed by the advisory committee, as you can see. And we wouldn't allow a person registered as a lobbyist on 2231 to serve on the advisory committee, and that the technical committee would work with the Next Gen Energy Board to develop a clean energy program, and a report would have to be given to the legislative finance chairs December 15th of this year on that issue. And then the next paragraph, $50,000 in the first year, is for the Commissioner of DNR in consultation with the EQB to report to the House and Senate committees on the Mississippi River Critical Area Program. This was something Representative Hansen put in the bill to see how that critical area program is working, to see how the communities along the Mississippi within the critical area are adhering to the program, and ensuring the protection of the Mississippi riverbanks and so forth. And so the report includes critical area plans, zoning ordinances, and recommendations for adequate protection of the natural environment of the river corridor. 2319, $1,500,000 each year for impaired waters as required by the Clean Water Act, Federal Clean Water Act, a one-time appropriation.
Madam Chair, I think this is one where the Senate does have money for this in the one-time bill, and for some reason, I don't know if the riders didn't match up exactly or how that worked, but again, that'll be something for the spreadsheets. There is money in the Senate bills for this, but it may not just show up here in the side-by-side.
And the Senate's got in 2025, $477,000 each year for the RIM program.
Madam Chair, that's a base rider. It goes back to, Mr. Helen, I'm sure remembers, back in the late or mid to late 80s when that money was put in here. It's been under, it's showing up here. The House just chose not to have the rider. The money's still in the bill on the House side. It just doesn't have a rider for it.
And the Senate on the next page has $115,000 first year, $1,000 more the second year for the Project Wild program. And then the next paragraph, $150,000 each year from the all-terrain vehicle account for developing and maintaining all-terrain vehicle trails.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, that $150,000, as I understand it, there's about $75,000 that's in the base right now for ecological services for ATV trails, and this is based on the new funding that's provided for the increase. You'll see later on the increase in the fee for ATV registration. This increases, it doubles that to $150,000 available for ecological services for that purpose.
Then on the House side, 2331, we have $100,000 each year for a conservation officer position to be stationed in the Mississippi Headwater State Forest to enforce state law along the Mississippi River. A lot of this enforcement will be on off-road vehicle situations and other work which needs to be done in that area. On the Senate side, again, they've got the phrase on 2213 in the next page, enhance or protect fish and wildlife resources, which the House doesn't mention. That particular phrase and its appropriation for that item.
Well, Madam Chair, I think it's just technical, but that is what it says in that statute. So it basically says the same thing in both sides.
Next page, Senate's got $500,000 each year from the all-terrain vehicle account in 2314 for off-highway vehicle safety programs and so forth, and $25,000 each year would be for administration of those grants. On the House side, 2536, we have $38,000 for the study on the natural stands of wild rice that's required in Article 2 in our bill. On 26-3 on the House side, $55,000 first year, $7,000 second year to the Environmental Quality Board to do the genetic engineering EIS that's required in Article 2 in our bill. The next page, 2635 on the House side, we've got a sentence that says any district requesting a grant under this paragraph shall create, maintain a web page. This is the Bowser appropriations. Sorry I didn't mention that at first. And which would contain its annual plan and annual audit, budget, membership dues, and that sort of thing. And then further down on 2714 for the Bowser appropriations, we've got a raise in there that says the contracts have to establish and maintain vegetation buffers of restored native prairie and restored prairie using seeds of a local ecotype region. And the Senate on 21, their bill, Senate file 2190-1428, they've got the $2,000 in fiscal year 2008 for erosion repair on the Blue Earth River.
Madam Chair, I would like to explain a little bit here, because this is a significant difference that will not show up on the spreadsheet in how this money is being spent. The Senate continues the cost share contracts for water quality management and feedlots, where the House is spending it differently. Just a little background, that's been the $1.5 million has been in place since, well, it was $1 million in 98 and then went to $1.5 million per year in 99. And that was an initiative back during the days when the state was kind of cracking down or increasing the rules and the enforcement of the rules on feedlots. It was an initiative of the late Senator Sams and Senator Dill to more money was being put into the regulation. They also wanted to put more money into the cost share contracts through Bowser. So they didn't. This wasn't carved out from existing money. They added money to the appropriation specifically for that purpose. So it was a Senate initiative that started in '98 and continued through and has continued. And so the Senate has the base rider for this, with the money being spent for cost share contracts for feedlots. The House has spent the money on other purposes rather than for feedlots. And the other thing to remember is that for those small feedlots under 300 animal units, they have until 2010 to do their final improvements. And in fact, there's a state law that says if you don't provide at least 75% cost share, that that you can't make them spend more than $3,000 on the improvement. So this would be a significant change to not have the money for the water quality management and feedlots. I think there is some money later on in the House bill, some one-time money from the Clean Water Legacy, but it's quite a bit less than this, and it's only one time.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Knopf, does this, the cost share money, is this, are all farms eligible for this, or what, how is that determined?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, that's a good question. At one point, I think this was generally for farms under 500 animal units. I think it's been expanded to up to 1,000 animal units, but it's generally farms of a smaller size. This is something that the board manages. But again, most of the ones over 300 animal units have had to be, they've needed their upgrades already in place. Generally, what's left are the smaller ones that they had to do a quick fix early on, and then they're required to do their final fix by October of 2010.
This is, just so members know, this is Representative Hansen's language. He's not here because the Emerald Ash Borer is on the floor in the House. He does have spreadsheets about how this money is being spent currently and to which counties it is going. So we'll just have to bring that later on when he's here. Emerald Ash Borer is taking precedent right now.
As Mr. Knopf says, though, there are significant differences in how the House and the Senate are spending the Bowser money here. And The House on 28.8 on R35 also asked Bowser to develop a forestry practice docket for cost share money so that cost share money can be available for forestry practices in the future. And that the board shall develop standards or policies for the following purposes. As you can see, starting in 2811, establishment and maintenance of vegetative buffers of restored prairie or native prairie, establishment of cooperative weed management programs in private natural lands and lands enrolled in public conservation programs, establishment of soil and water conservation and ecological improvement practices in private forest lands.
Sorry. About to turn it off, sorry.
You have a better sound than I do.
And then on the next page, R36, the House has a paragraph on implementation of the Clean Water Legacy Act that the Senate just doesn't put that paragraph in, but they obviously are also appropriating money for that purpose. And on 29.7, the House says of the amount for targeted non-point restoration cost share, $250,000 each year must be contracted for services with the Minnesota Conservation Corps. And then the Senate's got some different language on 19.1 through 19.8.
If you could, Mr. Knopf, I believe the Senate has additional money for the Conservation Corps at another juncture.
Yes, Madam Chair, you're right. The Senate has some additional permanent general fund appropriations. We'll see that when we get to the Minnesota Conservation Corps. I think you probably saw it on the spreadsheet yesterday, whenever that was, and that there is additional money for the MCC and the Senate side, but this is, you've tied this directly to the Clean Water Legacy appropriation. The Senate's is just a general fund appropriation for them.
We'll have some discussions about those choices later.
And then the House is a lot more detail on 29.16 on some of the Clean Water Legacy money, what it can be used for. Inventory of wetland mitigation opportunities in the greater than 80% area, and to conduct a region-wide wetland mitigation siting analysis for that greater than 80% area, basically northeastern Minnesota, and that's a one-time appropriation, and it describes how that evaluation shall occur and so forth, and developing goals for maintaining water quality in that area.
And, Madam Chair, some of the Senate members may remember, at least on the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, this was discussed, the additional language and the money on the House side, in the Policy Committee, but by the time the discussion took place, it was too late to send it to Finance and to have any action by the Finance Committee on this. So it just came in too late.
And then on the Senate side, in 19.19, they have a phrase that for the ISTS programs and also, and to locate and identify imminent threat systems, which the House doesn't have that phrase. They have a phrase, they talk about 30.21, we do talk about ISTS systems that are imminent threat to public health or safety due to water discharges of untreated sewage. And we go on to spell out how that money should be spent and so forth. And then there's each county that would receive an appropriation starting in 30.27 would report the number of inspections and the number determined to be an imminent threat to the PCA by February 1st of each year. Then on the next page, R38, we, on 31.1, $650,000 in the House side each year is for the feedlot water quality grants, which we talked about just a couple minutes ago for the under 300 animal units. 31.10, we just say if the appropriations in the clauses are insufficient, the appropriation in the other year is available for it, and that all the money appropriated in those clauses for Clean Water Legacy shall be administered through their local water resources protection and management program and statute. On the next page, R39, on 31.27, we have $500,000 in the House side each year is to make grants to local units of government to improve response to major wetland violations. And on 32.1, we have $60,000 the first years for rulemaking required by changes to the Wetland Conservation Act.
And Madam Chair, you will notice that except for the rulemaking, I think the Senate has similar language, except it may be a little less money, but that's, again, for the spreadsheet determination. But there is money for the on 14.10 to 14.12 for local governments to respond to major wetland violations also on the Senate side.
And then in 32.11 on the House side, $500,000 the second year for cost share grants to local governments for public drainage records modernization. $300,000 each year is to provide assistance to local drainage management officials to facilitate the drainage work group work and to staff a drainage assistance team and also update the Minnesota Public Drainage Manual. The Senate has some money for that purpose to update the Minnesota Public Drainage Manual also. And on the next page, the House has some language in regards, this is sort of based on the legislative auditor's report looking at watershed districts and so forth and how they're doing and other local water management entities. That the House has language on this in Article 2, a section, and they have this small rider here. The Senate has a much longer and more prescriptive rider about that. The House language is on R81, Section 73 in Article 2. And I don't know, Greg, if you want to talk about your language here or not.
Madam Chair, the language on the Senate side is also to address. I think the difference here is that the House has a rider that kind of says the same thing the Senate does. If you look on 2630, the board may withhold grants or other funding that do not meet minimum performance and operational standards. The House has language, as Mr. Helen described on page R81 and 82, that provides statutory language. The Senate decided to basically keep it in rider form this year and to ask for those for them to kind of report back on what those performance and operational standards will be. And the recommendations for further performance standards, and that basically to kind of do it a step at a time here. I think that's where the House is includes language, although I don't think there's rulemaking in the House language for this purpose. But the Senate was just asking them to come back and explain what they're planning on doing for this before going forward.
And then on R41, or 33.3 on the House side for the Metropolitan Council appropriation, we say $4,050,000 in each year is for Metropolitan Parks operations. The Senate, we don't mention maintenance. The Senate mentions maintenance and operations, and they have a little less money on their side.
Madam Chair, I think the Senate's carrying the rider we've been carrying. The House is a little bit different. I'm not sure why. But.
And on the next page, on the Senate side, they have the compensation increases language that the House doesn't have. And then we get into Article 2.
Madam Chair, while we're here, you mentioned earlier about the MCC, and this is where you see in the general fund appropriation to the MCC. Again, this is a spreadsheet item, but this is where the Senate puts an additional $250,000 a year for the MCC. It's just in their base general fund appropriation, and it would be a base item and not one time.
So in R43, the first statutory section to be amended is the public official definition, where we include the manager of a watershed district or a member of a watershed management organization and a supervisor of a soil water conservation district.
Now, we've been across through some of this language, haven't we?
Well, we've mentioned it in summary fashion.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Madam Chair, yeah, because it's unfamiliar to us, I'd appreciate a more detailed explanation of this. And
okay. That sounds good.
I don't know why. I mean, there must be some reason to call these Does this have to do with public meeting requirements, or is that
and
why?
And campaign finance laws.
Campaign finance laws, that's why they're
it's
added.
Representative Hansen.
And Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, they would also have to report, I mean, the economic interest statements, all of that, same thing that we have to do.
You have to do that, too?
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, yes, we have to do that, too. But it's Mr. Helland. The only thing, Madam Chair, I noticed that the House doesn't include kind of references to where these things. The question would be, the Watershed District is pretty well known, but a watershed management organization, if you do this, you may want to include a cross-reference to who exactly this is applied to, just to make sure we don't pick somebody else up. Because in the metro area, they're joint powers, WMOs, and they may want to make sure that it's clear here, and that's who we're talking about.
And then Section 2 on the House side. This is amending the law. This is part of our, I don't know if there's a similar provision in the wetland bill being considered by the Senate, but this is part of our wetland bill that Representative Hansen said that an agency response, including an approval with conditions, meets the 60-day time limit under the Administrative Procedures Act.
Madam Chair, we do have that in Senate File 1312. It was heard and progressed on the floor today. Didn't get final action yet, but it is in Senate File 1312.
And Section 3 on the House side is, this was from the Governor's bill on what has to be deposited in the Environmental Fund, gifts, grants, appropriation from any source, for any of the purposes provided in Subdivision 2 of the statute, except federal grants.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, especially for Senate members, this is, I think this one just fell through the cracks. It was a recommendation of the administration. We just didn't pick it up. But I think it's a fairly technical change to the Environmental Fund.
And then in the House side, we have the, from Representative Hansen's bill, the venison distribution and reimbursement that a meat processor would get participating in this program and so forth. And the next Section 5 in the House bill, that the commissioner shall not issue a new license to farm minnows in a natural water body if the water body is subject of a protective easement or other interest in land that was acquired with federal or state waterfowl stamp proceeds.
And, Madam Chair, just on these two provisions in R46, the venison distribution, you'll see some of the distribution language later on. One of the differences here is that the House looks like it's going to pass the money from DNR over to Ag, and then they're going to be giving the grants to the organizations from the Department of Agriculture, where the Senate keeps the money in the Department of the Department of Natural Resources. And with regard to Section 5 on the House side, there is a provision, in Senate File 1312, although it is different. It doesn't deal with the federal waterfowl stamp, or I think that should be federal duck stamp, but whatever. It doesn't have that. And it doesn't. It's done a little differently. It's kind of a one-year time period with a report back. So there's some differences in the language, but it is in Senate File 1312 in a little different form.
Going on to Section 8 in the House bill, the definitions that were mentioned in summary form before on ecotype region, native prairie, and so forth, that Representative Wagenius wanted in the bill. And on the Senate side, Section 13, they've got game and fish expedited permanent rules that the House does not have.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Helland, do you know if this is in the game and fish bill on the House side? It was part of the department's game and fish bill that came in. We took some of these provisions out of the, I think I explained this the other night, but I'll explain it again. Took some of the provisions out of the game and fish bill that had to go to both state and local, well, either state and local government, and some of them had to go to finance. And so they took that track and were incorporated into the finance bill, all the rule provisions and the fee provisions from the game and fish bill. So I think you may have that. At least it was in the bill as introduced.
I may have missed that when I picked up the other sections of our game and fish bill that are in here on the Senate side. But I'll look again to see if we've got that in our game and fish bill.
Perhaps Representative Dill could help us with that.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening at that very moment. I was thinking about my son flying down here.
Oh.
I was thinking about the weather and my. I'm sorry.
I'm hoping that weather is very, very good. We were just questioning whether the game and fish expedited permanent rules were perhaps in your game and fish bill.
Madam Chair, they are.
Okay.
And then Section 11 on the House side is the easement information. That would have to be included in any easement consummated by the Department of Natural Resources with a landowner. Down on Section 14, in the House side, the off-highway vehicle damage account, we delete unpermitted and put illegal area on 41.8 in the Senate on 30.6 talks about the operation of highway off-highway vehicles in an unpermitted area.
Madam Chair, I just explained it. I think the House has the bill kind of as the way it came in. The Senate Committee, the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, in looking at it, was concerned that by just changing it to illegal, that there may be some other unpermitted issues that are not illegal that we want to be able to use this account for. So the Senate Committee decided to put it. To kind of leave the unpermitted in place and they just add illegal to that.
And then the next page, the House says the restrictions on off-road vehicle trails on land administered by the DNR in Beltrami, Cass, Crow Wing, and Hubbard counties. And then on Section 16, the off-highway vehicle safety and conservation program, we have a sentence there. 42.3, that the commissioner shall coordinate the program through the regional offices of the DNR. And we also have a purpose provision in there that the Senate doesn't have. On subdivision 3, we mention that the commissioner enters into informal agreements with off-highway vehicle clubs, and the Senate just talks about organizations for volunteer services in those agreements. And then the Senate on Clause D under that subdivision 2 says the commissioner shall establish standards and certify organizations and individuals participating as volunteers for that program.
If I could just explain, Madam Chair, a second here. The way the Senate bill works is it just has agreements rather than informal agreements, and then there's a requirement in the rider that if there's any money that goes out to the organization, that has to be through a formal agreement. So it's silent on whether it's informal or formal here, but then in the rider, so that if there's actually money going out to the organization, then it has to be part of a formal agreement, not an informal agreement. So there's the way the Senate does that kind of depends on whether there's actually money involved.
And then the Senate on the next page on 3119 has a subdivision off-highway vehicle safety advisory council that the House does not have, and a number of sections that the House doesn't have.
Madam Chair, if you'd like, I can explain the Senate provisions on the Section 18, you've got that's the exemption for ATVs that are 25 years or older from having to be registered with the state and pay the registration fee. That was an amendment, I think, Senator Bach in division. And then on the top of page R54, those are the fee increases I mentioned earlier. The all-terrain vehicle fees going from $30 for every 3 years to $45 every 3 years. And that's, again, Mr. Helen talked about earlier, where the Senate was spending some more money on some of the ATV programs and off-highway vehicle programs. That's where the Senate money comes from, is from that increase in the fees in this section.
And then on 3227, the Senate also says that maintenance of the minimum forest roads and county forest roads that are part of a designated trail system, and the House doesn't mention that they're part of a designated trail system. They just talk about within state forest boundaries.
Madam Chair, there was a discussion in the policy committee when this was going through, and that there was a concern that the Senate, the bill came in the same way that the House has the language, and the Senate modified it because of concerns over that it wasn't kind of tight enough as to how the money was going to be spent. and there was some concerns about what it would be spent on for as far as county forest roads.
Then the next page, the House has a prairie plant seed production area, new clause in the existing statute that the commissioner shall compile and prepare and disseminate to the public prairie establishment guidance materials and resources, which they've said they're able to do. And then the next section, 19, the House has a contract for services that the commissioner may contract or accept the services of any person whose aid is available to do emergency invasive species prevention work, either as a volunteer or for possible compensation. And down in the end of that subdivision, the Commissioner of Agriculture shall cooperate with the DNR Commissioner in emergency control of invasive species prevention. The next page is all Senate language for infested waters.
Madam Chair, Section 21 and 22 and 23 are combined. They basically, instead of going through a rulemaking process for infested waters, the agency will be designating by written order. And I think this is in a bill. I don't think it's a Game and Fish, but it may be in a DNR technical bill or another DNR bill. That's going through the process over in the House. Again, these are provisions that were, because they had to go through other committees, that were stripped out in the policy committee and then sent along with the fee issues to state and local government and then to this division, and then were incorporated into the omnibus bill. So, but I think you have similar provisions on the House side.
Eakin.
And down on the Senate side in R57, on 34.9, they've got a phrase that the surcharge for invasive species is collected on non-resident hunting licenses, and we only have non-resident fishing licenses. We don't have the hunting licenses, non-residents. On the next page, we've got the back on section 20, on R57, section 23, we just put in the statute Greenleaf Lake State Recreation Area because we're renaming that from the proposed state park.
And, Madam Chair, we do have a similar provision in Senate File 1312, Senator Chaudhry's bill. It's still
on
the floor.
Next page, we've got the Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area Citizens Advisory Council, who makes that up and what they are supposed to do to work with the state recreation area manager up there and so forth. And then section 25, we've got a Sudan Underground Mine State Park free admission for tours of their high energy physics labs by K-12 school classes during the school year. Next section in the House side, we say a state park permit is not required or a fee can't be charged for motor vehicle entry or parking at Crop Mine Historical Park or the Portsmouth Mine Lake Overlook in the Cuyuna Country Recreation Area.
And Madam Chair, we do have similar language in about 1312 with dealing with the Cuyuna Country State Recreation Area. So, but that's, again, it hasn't passed yet. I might as well speak now on the Senate side here. On 34.16, it's a kind of a combination of the two bills of Senator Dillon and Senator Fredrickson, with the Redwood River and then the North Fork and the South Fork of the Crow River. Apparently Crow Rivers was in there before and they only did the South Fork, so that the fix seemed to be to put in both forks in here. And then we get into the watercraft surcharges. Again, as I explained two nights ago, that wherever it's $5 here, that actually is the existing surcharge, because the surcharge on watercraft is $5 for all these watercraft. And then what the Senate bill does is have the $5 for some of them, like basically for other than personal water, for watercraft that's 19 feet and less that is offered for rent or lease, that's still $5. Kayaks and canoes are still $5, the same as under current law. But for the larger boats and other type and personal watercraft, they are increased either to $10 or to $15 rather than the current $5. You'll see on page R60, section 32, where the $5 surcharge is being deleted. And so it basically, it looks like it's a bigger surcharge added, but really it's $5 under current law for all of those. It's just that some of them are being increased to 10 and 15, and some of them are being left at $5.
The Senate Bill 1343 has a lot of the community forest and shade tree pest provisions that the House has put in our bill, our finance bill. So they're basically the same until...
Well, Madam Chair, before we go on to that, there is one difference on the House side. And I'm not sure. I don't know if it's just something that we missed on the Senate side. On 46.10... it says fee, you delete and surcharges from titling and licensing watercraft under this chapter, and the Senate doesn't have the stricken language and surcharges. So I don't know. It's on 46.10 on the House side.
Thank you.
And on the Senate side, we don't have that same stricken language. And that just may be a technical thing that the House found that we didn't pick up. So I just wanted to make a note of that.
Madam Chair, I believe that that is related to the creation of the new invasive species account. The surcharges used to go into the water rec and now will go into the, elsewhere in the bill, there's direct those towards the invasive species account.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Reynolds, we should be picking up the House language on that. It's technically.
Madam Chair, yes, I believe so.
So the provisions for the community forest bill are the same through R69. Section that's different is on R70 in the Senate side, where the Forest Resources Council repealer is sunsetted in 10 years, 2017. The House doesn't have that sunset feature.
Madam Chair, if you wouldn't mind backing up to R64, there is one difference I wanted to highlight. On R64, House side 49.27, at the end of the line, you can see that the this new forest resource assessment and products and services account, the House has its own, that the statutory appropriation only exists for fiscal years 2008 and 2009. There's no similar language on the Senate side, so that it would continue on beyond this biennium.
So back to R70. The Senate side on Section 36, I think that's the Mineral Resources Coordinating Committee. They have that sunsetted on 2011.
And, Madam Chair, I think you may have this. This is from a DNR technical bill or some DNR bill.
And then on the House side on Section 59, change of security for activities incidental to the preparation of timber harvest, a purchaser having posted a bond for 100% of the purchase price may request the release of the bond, and the commissioner shall grant such release upon cash payment. This was part of a bill by Representative Dill.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Helen, is this tied into the release of the timber permits that we'll see later on?
Right, yeah. Right.
Representative Dill.
Actually, Madam Chair, I don't think
they
that's
were
true.
Different.
The language in Subdivision 4 is forward-looking.
Oh,
the language in the timber relief bill is looking backwards.
But, Madam Chair, Representative Dill, wouldn't somebody using that provision be able to use this to do that? I mean, one of the somebody that's...
It wasn't my intent to have it that way. The intent, the bill was for this part was forward-looking. You got the legal end of it. I'm not tracking that part of it, but that what we were trying to accomplish, Madam Chair, is that this would be an option in the future, versus that we didn't have that option when these previous contracts were let. So maybe we can talk about it later how it works.
Yeah. And then on the House side, Section 60, that's the minerals account, minerals management account that the House is retaining in the bill, retaining in law, and the Senate is getting rid of that. So that's House language, and I'll defer to Mr. Reinholtz, if you want to talk about that any further.
You want to talk about that now, or
Well, just, Madam Chair, just a brief explanation is all we need.
Okay, yes. If you could just explain.
Madam Chair, members, the language, I believe, is the same language that was created 2 years ago. It just corrects a portion of the royalty receipts into the minerals management account to be appropriated out by the legislature, and that's what the legislature is doing. House anyway, in the House position, is using that forward to pay for minerals management.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Mr. Reinholz is correct. I mean, this is 2 years ago. This was done for a 2 year period, so there was some uncodified law that did this same thing for the previous 2 years, and that was supposed to be it. But the House is now extending it, making it a permanent law that the money will go into the minerals management account. You'll see later in the repeal of the Senate, actually, after the end of the first fiscal year in this next biennium, the Senate repeals the minerals management account because we'll just be using general fund again for this. And but again, what this does is it just keeps that account alive. It keeps the revenue flowing into the minerals management account. And this is the money that would otherwise go into the general fund or into the trust funds.
And on the Senate side, Section 37, that's something that's in our game and fish bill, also on establishing fees for state wildlife management areas or aquatic management areas. Next page, we get into the deer license surcharge or deer license donation, the two different approaches taken by the House and the Senate on for charitable donation purposes. And Section 40 on the Senate side, that's about the stamp validation. Do you want to talk about that?
Madam Chair, we have just a couple minutes, too, on the deer license donation. I mean, it is, again, as I mentioned earlier, you have language. This is, if you look at paragraph B on the Senate side, this is the language to get the money out to the processors. And then the commissioners adopting rules, you have that going through ag, as I mentioned earlier. And this is all done within DNR on the Senate side. So in addition to the donation, the other issue on the House side is, again, you have the statutory appropriation only for the years of this biennium. For the receipts from this, then it would have to be directly appropriated after that or extended through legislation.
And I missed something on R73 on the House side, that where we add into the wildlife management area statutes the new Vermilion Highlands wildlife management area in Dakota County that's mentioned later in our bill.
Again, Madam Chair, members, we do have this in Senator Chaudhry's bill, Senate File 1312. Madam Chair and members, if you look on page R74, you'll see a number of Senate-only provisions. The first one is the dealing with the migratory waterfowl and pheasant stamps. This is the one that basically says that this should be in your House Game and Fish bill, at least as it came in from the department, where now you're not going to be required to have the pictorial stamp, but you'll have to pay $2 fee to get it, similar to the way we do turkey and some of the other stamps. So that was part of that. Again, it affected the financing a little bit. There was something on this, so it was passed through to the Finance Committee. Section 41 is a little different. That's tied to the three-year fish house and dark house license. That was an amendment and a bill with Senator Chaudhry. And you'll see later on there's a provision allowing for a license fee for that. This is just to make sure that the license would be valid for those 3 years and to specify how it would be valid. Section 42, that should be, again, in your House Game and Fish bill. That's dealing with those non-residents under age 18 obtaining it at the resident rate for a small game license. Section 43 should be also in your Game and Fish bill, dealing with the spouses of residents on active military duty, allowing them to purchase the resident rate even if they're not residents. Section 44, this was a bill of Senator Jen Olson's that deals with giving, I did mention this the other night, went through it a little bit, but just briefly, it allows for 24 months to them to fish and take small game without a license, and then also to receive one free deer license during that 24-month period after they leave active service. On R-76, if you wouldn't mind, I'll just continue explaining these two provisions. You've got we both have the lifetime small game and sporting license, adding trapping. The big difference here is on the effective dates. They're both apply the same February 28th, 2001. That's when the basically when the lifetime licenses began. But the Senate says it's effective August 1st, and the House is effective the day following enactment. There's also an error. There's a missing word on the 41.13 on the Senate side. It should have been this section is effective August 1. So there's a missing adverb or whatever there. And so those are the difference between those two. And then I'll go on the Senate side on section 47. This again there should be at least parts of this in your game and fish bill. I don't know. There are actually a number of parts to section 47 on the Senate side, because you have the again for those non-resident youth under age 18, you've got the reduced fee license for taking gear with firearms. Then there's also the elimination of the different fee depending on which state you're from for the archery license, and you've got another amendment that was in the Senate side to remove fox or coyote from the special license for non-residents. And then you've also in paragraph B on the Senate side, as Mr. Helen mentioned earlier, there's a $5 surcharge that'll be used for invasive species, and that's on 41.32 to 41.34 on the Senate side.
That's the only provision, Madam Chair, in the House side that we don't have in our Game and Fish Bill, that new clause being.
That's correct.
Excuse us, members. We've just been informed that the House is under call. Can I assume that means we're going to vote on the tax bill? Okay.
Do you want to recess?
I think we would recess temporarily. This, if it is what I expect it is, that shouldn't take very long. All these, I've been wondering why we haven't done that, the tax bill yet. But we will recess to the call of the chair. But I am guessing it's just a few minutes. We'll try to be fast.
All right, we'll try to stay here.
Okay.
We've heard that before.
Yeah.
We will send
going to tie Senator Frederickson to his chair.
We will send a message down as soon as we get up. And we know what to do.
All right. Thank you. We can check on the Senate status now too, but we're waiting for the tax bill to be processed. So that's a